like, wait, me and my mom and
Yeah.
you, your mom and you. Like, I was like 5 generations I counted, and I thought, well, that's pretty fucked. No wonder why. Like, it's all coming down to me, and I'm the one who has to go through all this stuff. So I said,
This is the Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore modern knowledge and ancient wisdom to support women in finding answers to their deepest longings and unlocking their true power. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, and together with genuine experts in the fields of intimacy, tantra, sexual energy, women's health and wellness, relationships, and human potential, we explore how to find our truths and connect deeply with our bodies, utilizing all the natural tools that help us thrive and create more love and peace in this world. This podcast is about rising above, taking responsibility for our own empowerment, breaking free from old conditioning and outdated projections. To find out more about the Feel membership that offers to take this knowledge into your life through daily embodiment practices, check this podcast description. In this episode, I speak to Rhyme, a musician and a very inspiring young woman who built her career with so much courage. I met Rhyme when she took 28 days of embodiment course, and we had a one-on-one call where she shared her story and how she's really been connected to her masculine and now wants to learn more about her feminine side so that she can achieve even more in her life and access sources of power within her body, energy, and spirit. I invited her to this podcast because her story, as unique as it is also really relatable and can support so many of us just by understanding we aren't alone in our experiences of finding our true self and reconnecting to our essence, our families, our feelings, emotions, and dreams. She shares so vulnerably the story of her family, the story of her father, of her mother, of her grandmother, and I find such conversations to be so important. And as many of us know, the relationship with our family, with our roots, ancestors, our bloodline really shapes a lot of our lives. And Rhyme also shares her new learnings in the feminine embodiment path that has just opened to her.
It's like everything is a big giant mirror.
Yeah.
The more and more we pay attention to all the signs and symbols and people around us, and even listening back to our voices on, say, shows like this, that we can go, oh, yeah, that's true. The amount of, like, empowerment I've gotten from listening to podcasts over the past, like, 6-7 years has been incredible. And I've always said, oh, wow, I needed to hear this podcast at this particular time. So I hope anyone that's listening to this might hear something at this particular time and resonate. My journey, it began, actually, my father comes from rock and roll music in Australia. My mother also comes from like stylism, makeup world. My dad was very young when he had me. He kind of came out of high school at 18 and played in a band in Australia. Very hard rock band, kind of like AC/DC. And they did very well. They had like a hit single when he was 19. It was like big up really quickly. And a lot of drugs came in, from what I hear. And he kind of, he did well, but I also hear, like, you know, it was also creating conflicts within the band. And then my dad and my mom met, I think, when he was 20. And then they got married in Las Vegas. Yeah, my mom was a little older, but I know that now, like, it's hard to say, like, talk about your parents.
Yeah.
That really is the foundation of basically your makeup.
Yeah.
And understanding your parents and then also your grandparents, which I've recently discovered, which I'll talk more later on the show. But understanding your parents is, like, such a fundamental part of going, oh, that's that mindset. Oh, that's that behavior I made. That's that pattern that I've been stuck in because you inherit so much from your parents. And of course, it's not my story, but this is just a great place to start. So my dad was 22 when he finally had me. And then a year after, the band fell apart. And it became like highs to super lows. And from I remember growing up and the narrative, you know, there was a lot of great things, but there was also a lot of like, oh, the band didn't make it, and oh, I'm depressed, and oh, we have money problems. We're living off government support for a while. I was born in Sydney, but then we had to move after 1 year to the mountains. I was in the mountains for like 4 years and up in Brisbane. So it was like a bizarre childhood. My parents never bought a house, so we always had to move every year because of the renting system. They would always be like, Christmas time, you have to leave the house. And that was tough. I felt like I never got a sense of home. Like I had to find a home in little pieces along the way. My primary school and my high school probably would have been, my primary school is probably the most home place I could think of. Because I moved around a lot of houses, but there was at least a school for 7 years. That was like the most place I felt like, oh, I can feel safe here. Like it's like a home. So because of that, dynamic with my family, I was like, I just knew from very young, like, oh, why do all the other kids have the Tamagotchis? I want a Tamagotchi. So I just started working when I was 11. And I was straight away going into my masculine energy. I feel like I was always this kind of masculine, like a bit weird girl. I liked nature a lot. I liked dreaming. I liked building stick houses for lizards. I just started working from 11. I had like a job at a craft shop. They paid me in beads, and I would make necklaces with these beads and go sell them at like markets on the weekends and hustle. Yeah, I was like,
well, well done.
Then at 13, I got a job at a hair salon. 15, a Chinese restaurant, then a surf store. I ended up like, I was starting to figure skate then too, because I was really like, I want to move my body. I want to like be tough. I want to be flexible. And of course my parents never really supported my figure skating, but that's why I was like, okay, I'm going to work because I want to skate. It was, for me, it was like, I don't know, maybe this is my mindset, but it's like, if I want something, if I have to go from point A to point B, I just do it. I don't think it's my destiny or whatever. I kind of just had this mentality like, pull up your pants and couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And it's a very Australian mentality at some point, but I also now like felt like it's very masculine too. So I've always just kind of had this like, get through it mentality for so long. And then I finished high school and retired a little bit from skating because I wanted to move back to Sydney. And I actually knew during high school I would never go to university. That was something I really knew because I don't particularly agree with the education system in university. Depends what you want to do, of course. But what was I going to do? Like marketing university? You know? And I always knew I had this weird sense of trust. I think my mom gave that to me of like trusting in the universe somehow. But I also felt like music was also my calling because during school I was playing saxophone and I was producing music since six. I was always around my dad, like even though he never really made much further waves in music, he doused me in music. It's in my blood. And I always felt like there was this weird sensation of, I gotta show my dad. I gotta show my dad like I can do it, you know? And he'd always he gives me this energy sometimes of wow, you haven't got a platinum record and you haven't done that. Like nothing's really ever good enough for him. I mean, he's also a Virgo. I think that's like very Virgo mindset. And I have a Virgo moon for my chart. So for me, I'm like always judging my emotions, like, oh, it's not good enough. And it pushes you.
Yeah.
And again, that's the whole like, it could have been better. Like, I always feel like I have a stick in my hand, like trying to hunting for this prize, I guess. This prize within myself, this prize that society puts on us. But there's always been this bizarre longing inside of me. It's like, I can't explain it. It puts me to bed at 3 a.m., wakes me up at 6 a.m., and I just go. And there was a period where I was doing that, like going to bed. I would wake up, I would work at like a cafe, an event manage this space, then do like a modeling photo shoot at 5, and then DJ from 10 to 2 a.m. And do it like all the time, like but when I was like 18, 19. And at this point then I was thinking, like, music was also my calling. I knew I wanted to do that, but I knew people were really important. Mm-hmm. If I could understand people, then my job on stage is going to be better for everyone. So that's why I did event management, because I learned how to walk into a space, understand the space. How does a space work? How do you hold space in space? Mm-hmm. How do you, from the opposite point of view, welcome people into the room, know when to serve the canapes, know when to serve the mm-hmm. drinks, know how to clean the toilet, mm-hmm. know how to manage, like, this kind of flow, know how to speak to the staff,
mm-hmm.
The lighting crew, the sound crew. It was like, I knew the ins and outs of every single detail of how a space works before I even got on the stage, because I wanted to get on the stage and really respect and understand the space and the people and all the work that goes into it. Like, cause if you go to a show and the toilets are all busted or there's no drinks, was like, it ruins so much of the experience, right?
Yeah. I wonder if we can just pause a little on your parent experience. Because you mentioned things like you want to prove certain things to your dad or show him to something. And you also mentioned that he often tells you, like, oh, you don't have that or haven't done that. What generally do you feel now about that relationship with your father? Because as you say, it's such a forming space for any person, really, for myself as well. And yeah, just wonder how did that shape you and how do you reflect on it now?
It's been definitely a journey since all these events and music stuff. And my dad and I had a lot of ups and downs, same as my mom and I, because of their divorce. But when my dad and I didn't speak for the past few years, because I was like, I just needed to really clarify a lot of deep things within myself. Because it just got to the point where I just felt like everyone would almost kind of look down at me whenever I'd go back to Australia, or even when I was younger, I'd come to dinner and I'd be like, so you guys, I'm going to do this poetry thing. And I invite this, like, you know, I would just always be a little quirky. Yeah. I'm an earth sign, so I'm super grounded, but I just love to be quirky.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt this kind of like, oh,
mm-hmm.
like growing up with the name Ryan is hard enough. Like, and just being accepted to me is super important, and having that first from my father. And I know my father accepts me, but it was only actually last year that was the first time that we spoke on the phone, where he really finally got to tell me that he really loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I think it was this space of 3 years and this kind of boundary I put up after so long in my music career of just get going, 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 going. Why is nothing happening? Going, going, going. Why is nothing happening? And just a few wise women over the years have just like put little clues around me going, it's all about your energy. It's all about your energy. You got to feel it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm doing it. No, you got to feel it. I'm like, this to me, like, fucked me up, because I was like, I don't understand. What do you mean feel it? Like, I know I trust the universe. I know things are good. I know my quality I'm working on every day. I feel like I'm proving myself, but why isn't it happening? So this was, I think, a deep reflection of where maybe my father and my mother at some point, because she probably had that about herself, came in. And yeah, it just started by me acknowledging there needs to be an energy shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started to really go within and say, okay, well, let's try this. And I applied the same technique of like, let's just do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do this, but without doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really bizarre shift for me. I couldn't really pinpoint like exact periods, because I'm still a hustler, I still work every day, but now I take the time to have a routine twice a day to really check in with myself more, and to meditate differently, like call upon different energies. But my dad finally, when we spoke, and I was actually DJing at a vinyl bar in Tokyo, and it's I DJ there a lot, but I saw his call, so I left, and I just thought he was, like, going to say something, but he ended up talking to me for an hour, and I couldn't go back inside. My face was, like, covered in tears and snot, and it was, like, I was trying so hard to keep it together, but I was also crying a lot because he was, I don't know what happened that night. He just, I don't know, he said he loved me a lot and he's so proud of me and he knows I'm very special. Like, it was just finally this big release. Why didn't you tell me this sooner? But I think also, like, maybe it pushed me to this point that I'm at now because he finally got to see me perform for the first time last year in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He flew over to Japan for the first time after 7 years. Never visited me. And I got his ticket to Japan for my album launch of the Rhymes album, I Am Fucking Brilliant, which is literally the album.
Yeah.
Which, again, is such a statement in itself. Like, I had to learn how to be fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, and also say it about yourself.
Exactly. I was so honored for him to see me perform. And I think that was also like a point in his mind where he was like, okay, she's ready. Now I can give her some like love.
Yeah, or maybe he became ready. You know, like something, something about having young dads. I had my dad also, he had me when he's 23. I feel like, and a lot of people probably have like this kind of young dads. Men mature, it's a common accepted sense. Men mature later than women. And also, like, for them, stepping into this, like, proper mature father figure really takes time. It's very rare that people get, like, a young dad who is so loving and so there for them. Usually, age 23 to, like, 35, guys are so focused on just trying to figure it out themselves. And they, unfortunately, don't get it how to love their child properly. Same, like, I believe, like, that's the stories I hear from girls that have young dads. Same for me, like, I'm way more fortunate, I would say, in terms of, like, my dad is very, he knows how to express love because he really likes the sensations of love and, like, passion. So I received a lot of it. But at the same time, of course, he wasn't there for me. And now looking back of, like, looking just at this situation, I'm like, yeah, I kind of, like, really understand because they were such boys. They had no idea. Like, imagine now look at the 23-year-old guys out there. They're babies. They just, like, really don't know, not only how to handle their own girlfriends usually, but, like, children. Whoa.
No, that's insane.
Yeah. So it's good that they grow up at some point.
I think so too. Yeah. It definitely had, like, opposite effect on me. Like, I always, whenever I would pick a man, I would always pick a very mature man.
Same. Yeah. This is, like, the usual daddy issue thing. Like, because we want that, like, someone to create a safe space for us, be so reliable, be so strong. So, of course.
I've been lucky because I've strong, like, I hold myself pretty high.
Yeah.
And I demand, like, very gentlemen in my life. And I've actually met such great men.
Yeah.
I of course, like, we've all got those stories. But I generally, my whole life, I've never really had bad boyfriends.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I might be like one of those, oh, she's full of shit. But really, I've always expected the best of them.
Yeah.
And then even if they've been younger or they've been older, and girl, let me tell you, but they've always been rather good men. Of course, they all have their things, but
yeah.
I'm very impressed. I've had the most problem with women, even. That's been my biggest struggle. But to finish off, like, the masculine side of myself, my masculine side was always the most dominant, and it still is. Well, I don't know right now, this very second, I'm in a totally interesting mood right now. But my father, I have a lot to thank for, and a lot to punish him for in the next. But I've come to really accept. It'll just be a never-ending process of understanding my father, understanding my father's father, understanding my masculine energy, and I feel like I've really ripened it.
Yeah,
it's become now to the point where when I meet men or when I deal with men in any way, or women who are very much in their masculine, I know how to speak to them correctly in a way. And I know how to reach people as well when I'm on stage or certain types of music because I know like what men are trying to process and how they're trying to process it. And I'm much more like energetic and like, you know, I just want to like sit on the rock at the top of the jungle and roar like the Lion King, you know, and that kind of big sense of like I hold space, you know. And then it was last year that all the mom and the came, and this is how I discovered you this year. But it was last year that things just got really like bad energetically, you know what I mean? And I've been living in Japan for the last 8 years, and Tokyo is a very masculine energy. Japan generally is quite masculine, in my opinion.
Yeah, but it's also common, kind of like, you know, they have these statistics of generally Japanese people having such strict rules around their lives and their lifestyles and the expression of also love and relationships, but also their work culture, like working very, very hard. And working hard at any point of your life, not really giving up. And it's it is known to be more, you have to work hard to achieve things, otherwise you're not so useful for the society. And that's something that, I'm just learning from statistics, but if it's something that resonates.
Yeah, family lineage and avoiding shame at all costs.
Yeah.
So there's a word in Japanese called sekinin. Sekinin means responsibility. And unfortunately, Japan lacks a major sense of responsibility and accountability. And you see this just by going to a restaurant or a cafe and ordering something and asking something, and they'll be like, oh, chotto matte kudasai. And then they'll ask someone, and that person goes, and they just keep going around the ring until someone can answer the question. Like, sorry, we don't have that.
But
small details like this, like they don't want to be the one to say, oh, gomenasai, arimasen. It's very, for me, been very frustrating. And now it's not all Japanese, but a lot of them would rather pass the blame on. But again, this is a very worldwide stereotype too. But I feel like the biggest problem in society generally, especially in Japan, is this lack of responsibility. And this has been, if you take responsibility for yourself and your actions, and that accountability can just, it forces you into such a good space, actually. Because then it's like, these are my mistakes. This is what I didn't do. And this is what I did do. And then you can actually like enhance these aspects. But when you don't do that and you hide or you substance abuse or like, you know, you just kind of keep dodging the bullet, you're going to run into big problems. And it's we all do it at some point. We all do. We hide a little bit. But in Japan, especially over the 8 years I've been there, it's really brought out like the best of me and the worst. For me, if I ever recommend anyone to really know themselves, go to Japan, go alone, see who you meet, get lost in translation. It's really the best country in the world. Like, I would say everyone should live there minimum 5 years of their life. Solid. And then talk to me and then tell me, like, oh, my God. But there's something about the samurai's journey there that really enforces the greatest sense of patience, deep respect others, and reverence. Really, it's been so life-changing. I've learned Japanese poetry. I play Japanese instruments now. My life partner's Japanese, who's taught me everything, and he's been my master in music and in my personal life, and really taught me how to be like a good person. I mean, I thought I was a good person, but like now I'm like, damn, I feel like I can contribute to the world in the most authentic way and with super authentic ideals and values, because I put myself in my 20s in Japan, which is super formative years. And of course there was a sacrifice I made, but because I was focusing so much on this samurai's journey and this honing my skills. I didn't get this normal, I'm 29, I didn't get the normal 20s of relationships and sexual experiences and, you know, anything like emotional was really put on the side.
Mm.
I did experience a lot of emotional turmoil, but I could never really show it. Mm. It was very private inside the house.
Mm.
Or I would put it in my music and that would be my healing way, but I could never just, I don't know, go outside and be emotional. I was nervous. And it's not a thing you do in Japan. Everyone's very private about their emotions. And in a way, that's why Japanese music can be really weird. Because, yeah, and you go to shows, like shows, and everyone's like really bizarre there. Because it's like maybe the one place they can express. Whereas I notice in you're like, I'm moving to France, like between France and Tokyo, when I'm in France, everyone's so like emotional outside. I'm like, oh, no, no, no. And then like when it comes to the stage and the show, everyone's so cool, like so cool, because that everyday life is so like emotionally expressed.
Mm.
It's opposite to Japan.
Mm.
And I felt like over the last year, I've been getting a lot of signs because I'm not feeling beautiful.
Mm.
I'm feeling like when I'm in Tokyo, I'm not a tomboy or I'm a neon fairy. And it's great. I love it. But I was, the man in Japan, it's not celebrated. Like a man would never open a door for a woman.
Mm.
A man would never pick up something for a woman. I can tell you stories, especially being a foreign woman in Japan. They'll never accept me.
Mm.
Ever. Even if I speak perfect Japanese, it'll just never happen. I've accepted it. And you can talk to a lot of sources about this, but it has been like, they're one of the most pure blood countries in the world. And I think there's this deep sense of wanting to keep that. And I respect that. I'm actually like kind of for that because I think, you know, they're trying to uphold a tradition.
Yeah, and culture. Such a strong culture that they have.
Yeah, they're really like the most right-wing, like right countries in the world. Even though they're very open and progressive, they also very like, no, this is the way. Don't fuck with the agenda.
Yeah.
And it attracts very interesting people, foreigners and Japanese. Mm. You know? And then that's why some Japanese leave, because they're just totally not aligned with
this.
Oh. So yeah, it's one of those few countries in the world that without saying it, they'll put a smile on their face and be like, yes, come and be in Japan, but never fucking live here,
no,
getting a passport.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
But I got so weird because I was like, oh man, I didn't feel like, no one would ever come and talk to me. Like, they would come and talk to me for a photo. Oh, really? No, you know, like, for my career, but it wasn't, hey, like, you're looking pretty. Or, I never got this ever.
Yeah.
And then I felt like I was getting weird. Like, I was not being sexually challenged. And I'm a very sexual person. I want to express that.
Mm.
And all this pent-up energy started going into the music, and my next project is so sexy. But I really was like, okay, I'm not feeling well. Like, something's not right about my body, and I don't want to become, like, a sexless 20, 30-year-old woman. Like, it was... I went to this weird place. So I said to myself last year, okay, I can travel again. And I want to go to, where's the most like romantic
city? Oh, yeah.
And Paris is always,
yeah.
I said, before Japan, I always knew I wanted to live
there. Yeah.
I was learning French.
Yeah.
When I was young.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, naturally, France pulled me. I have a lot of friends from Paris. Paris and Tokyo, France and Japan are very close. They love each other.
Yeah.
They're like, if you're in Japan, there's like French baguette stores
everywhere.
And if you're in Paris, it's like,
yes.
Trust me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to France and that'll be my next career, like in my two cities.
Yeah.
And France, oh my God, like everywhere I go, I feel so beautiful.
Yeah.
I dress definitely differently. My mood in the street is different. It's like, for me, Paris is such a feminine city, and it's a very flow city. So every hour the mood changes.
Yeah. And people are also in the flow. They're like not that strict about their time.
Totally. Do you ever go to the tea? If I'm 1 minute late, I'll get messages going like, we are waiting, like, and no, and is everything okay with you? And I'm like, yeah, she's coming up to us later, but like, yes, I'm really happy I got this experience in Japan. Oh, god damn, it feels so good to be like 20 minutes late. With, like, excuse me,
yeah,
I'm sorry. You know, it's like sometimes life, you can't time it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can give an approximation, but sometimes you're early, even if you're too late. It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
But even like, you know, the waiters and so when I do things, I always just feel like this. I get stopped on the street in Paris by men, women, everyone, and they go, oh, you look so beautiful.
Yeah.
Your hat is so purple.
And I'm like, yes. Yeah. It's so important to receive these things, right? They fuel us.
Mm.
And it's just a natural need for interaction of positive, even the little sensual or flirty interaction feeds us. Like, exactly. It's amazing.
And as an artist, I'm going to say the thing that every artist is going to be like, don't say it. But artists need validation.
Of course. And why are you there on the stage?
Yeah. I mean, artists need validation. And then we can't escape this sense of like, I needed my father to be like, good job for my life. And because I'm trying to accomplish something, not for like material ego. Yes, of course that plays into it. I got to survive. But it's more like I'm channeling messages that even I don't understand sometimes that I need to express to people. I remember I did a show recently in Hong Kong and I didn't rehearse. I just got on the stage and the theme of the show was our album, so it's I'm Fucking Brilliant. And I said something so profound that the way I said it was like, it just unfolded so naturally. And I said, in order for others to love you, in order to receive that love, you want you to love yourself first.
Of course.
And it just touched the way I said it, though, I just, like, I don't plan these things, you know, but I feel like we're really in a time of self-healing.
Yeah.
And I've gone through the ringer. I'm not going to go into like some sad stories, you know, but I've been through stuff that is like, I would rather sacrifice myself, like my life, like please chop my head off right now so that no one ever has to experience what I've experienced in pain in my heart. Like I know that suffering's natural. We all have to go through it in order to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage it at some point, but it's also like, I would never want someone to have to feel that kind of rejection or betrayal or, I don't know, indifference. So for me, I'm really just hardwired about self-empowerment and bringing some like good, I don't know, good pop back into the Hollywood Satanism pop scene.
Yeah.
Keep this on the podcast.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah. So in Tokyo, I realized, okay, I gotta connect with my feminine.
Yeah.
And then it was in Paris that I was, this last year, I was like, I want to find a way to do some feminine embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found your course. Online.
Yay. Glad to be useful. And also, this is such a magical way to meet you and get to know you. So that's great.
And it was such a bizarre timing too. So I just want to touch on my mother a little
bit. Yeah. Yeah.
My mom and I have had a really rocky relationship. There have been years when we've been super close and then we don't talk at all. And I always, something that always came up in my mind, but I never really thought about it too much until last year, which was when I started to think about feminine embodiment, was that I never met my grandmother.
Fundamentals.
Fundamentals. Like, wait a second. I'm 28. I've never met my grandmother.
Yeah. Crazy.
And I know why.
Yeah.
Because my mother's narrative was, your grandmother is evil.
Mm.
My subconscious didn't understand that until recently, because I was like, wait a second, are my roots of my feminine evil? Like, I actually started putting things into pieces, like, wait a second, is this why I've had such difficult time in school with women? Have I always had to kind of be one of the boys and like dress differently in this to fit in with more like a weird kind of bad girls in order to get their approval, so I don't have to be bullied by the pretty girls? Like, why should I have to hide my, like, I'm always just being a little dodgy in the feminine because I'm just like, eh. But maybe that was like a root of all of this problem was because my mom's story was the female feminine line is evil. And evil's to me pretty serious.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, well, wait a second. Now that I'm stepping into my power and I've ripened my masculine energy, and the only place I could think of to start was like, maybe I should just talk to my grandma.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even know. By the time my mom has had to stop talking a year ago. So I kind of use this opportunity like, well, maybe I should just do something dramatic. And I did. I never thought in my life I would ever speak to my grandmother because I didn't know. I wasn't there. I didn't know. My family was so torn apart all my life. And I thought, okay, fuck it, I'm going to do it. So I called her. And it was August last year. Yeah, August. No. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, I think it was August last year. And I said, I contacted first my cousin who gave me the number. And my cousin was like, oh, I have it, but are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. I didn't tell my mom. And I call my grandmother and I just hear this woman pick up the phone and goes, hello? And I kind of like didn't know what to say, but I was like, oh, hi. I'm your granddaughter.
Yeah, like movies. So.
It was really. I remember sitting like in my couch in my little apartment in Japan, and I was thinking, what the fuck am I doing? Like, this is so weird. And she was like, oh, Ryan. And I was like, grandma. It was so weird. And we just talked, and I just asked. I'm like very good at getting things together, but there was like this thing coming up inside my chest. I just wanted to cry and be like, why? What happened?
Yeah.
Where were you? Like, I never had a grandma.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And it just all came up. But I was like very responsible.
And
I could tell she was trying to keep it together too, which I admire because my mom could never keep it together. So I was like, okay, I get this from her.
Yeah.
And she sounded really nice on the phone, and she told me that she's seen, like, through family, like, she's seen my pictures of me when I was in the school, and she always thought of me, and she's, at the end of the phone call, after we shared, she said details, like, even, her mother and her had a bad relationship because she was born out of wedlock. And then her mother's mother had a bad relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And I just started putting the pieces together. Like, I was a detective in my own life and my own feminine embodiment. And I was like, okay, wait a second. Me and my mom and you, your mom and you. Like, I was like five generations I counted, and I thought, well, that's pretty fucked. No wonder why. Like, it's all coming down to me, and I'm the one who has to go through all this stuff. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to be the one to fix this. That's my ripened masculine. Let's apply the same principle of just doing it.
Yeah.
And not being too emotionally involved. Of course, the emotions came up.
Yeah.
At the end of the phone call, she said, I love you.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of you.
Bye.
And I just, like, burst into tears. And I was like, bye.
Yeah.
And I said, what the fuck was that? I remember, like, coming off the phone. And then, like, near my beach town where I was staying at the time, fireworks went on. Like, oh, so weird. Like,
right?
Yeah. So sometimes the universe has little signs of, like, hey, that was a good deed.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
It was so bizarre. And these are signs and symbols from the universe when you open a door or you do something. So then it was 4 months passed, and I went through a big psychedelic journey for the first time in my life too, which also opened up some stuff. And then I decided in January, and this was like end of December, I said, I'm going to go to Australia. Like, 4 days later, I went to Australia. And I'm going to go meet my grandma. And I didn't tell her before I left for Australia. I didn't do anything. I just said, when I get to Australia, I'm going to call her like a few days before I'm going to meet her and see if she's available.
Yeah.
Because I said, okay, the only next step for me logically is to really break the boundary.
Yeah.
And so I did that. I drove up like 6-7 hours from my house, and I met her, and that was, again, really weird. I never expected to hold the hand of my grandmother. Like when she touched my hand, we just looked into each other's eyes, and it was just
wow.
We were just searching for. Okay, like it was like downloading.
Yeah.
And I could see my mom's face and her face. And
we are taking a little break so that you can learn how to access your sexual energy and feminine power at any time and learn to embody your most confident, beautiful, powerful self. We've gathered a community of leading teachers, tantra, embodiment, sex, love, intimacy, relationship coaches. And together with them, we create simple daily practices and rituals that you can access online on demand. Embodiment, breath, tantric practices, meditations, dance, movement, everything you need to cultivate your sexual energy and feminine power. Even 5 minutes a day make a huge difference. You can access these practices in the Feel portal at a super affordable price from $15 to $30 per month. And believe me, this is the investment that has unbelievable huge returns for your life, love, relationships, creativity, abundance, pleasure, and so much more. Get ready to awaken your inner goddess, harness your feminine power, and radiate authenticity in every area of your life. Join the Feel portal at feelup.co/membership or find the link in this podcast feed or on our Instagram at feel_women.
Yeah, she gave me a tour of her house and she cooked for me and she showed me her art. I didn't know, but she can draw really well.
Yeah.
And she showed me this one picture of this like mother bird protecting the baby birds.
Yes.
And that was like, she told me that this symbolized like the mother protecting the children. Mm. And I know for a fact that all the source of the pain in my family was because she couldn't protect my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother felt so betrayed by her that when I saw this picture, I think my grandmother subconscious wanted to protect the innocent and the babies, but she couldn't do it in the real world. She didn't have it. And I was just crying. I couldn't hold back. And yeah, it was a really emotional time. Yeah, because we all wish, like, if only my mom had been protected by my mom, or my grandma could have done this, or I could have done this for someone. Oh, I wish I could have protected that person. And that's that, like, soft, gentle, scared woman that I've grown up, I think, knowing. But I realize now I don't come from evil.
Yeah. None of us. Yeah.
But I think that was something that picture that she drew, symbolizing her subconscious wanting to protect the innocent, that it made me go, okay, I'm at peace now with knowing there is, I think, a true love and longing for protecting the kind of sacredness in the family.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so beautiful what you've done, and I'm so proud of you. It's not many people can do it for themselves, and really repairing that relationship and that line of with your parents or with your mother line, with your father line. That's what changes life for the better, because as you say, somebody had to do it, and most often that's when the magic starts happening. Because when someone has this like frustration, fear, anger, and all this sadness and broken hearts behind them, like for generations, they just keep carrying them and then passing them on to their own children or to their own loved ones, to their friends. And unless you stop it and heal it, and in the real world, it's even more powerful. Of course, some people might not have availability, or those people live in a life to do what you've done, which also can work. But to do that in a real life, first of all, how lucky you are, you can and you could have done it, then you could have reached those people, and also you could have met them, and you could have really done that for yourself and for them. How much peace your grandmother might feel now. And maybe that will indeed come to your mother as well, right?
I know my mother, she was very upset when she found me. And I really didn't intend for that reaction.
Yeah.
And it really broke my heart because I tried so hard.
Yeah.
It's very challenging when you put so much effort into something that comes from such a pure place of love and just wanting to understand, and it just getting thrown in your face. And of course, you never really understand what people go through. Yeah. But when I hugged my mom, I tried so hard to hug my mother from my grandmother too.
Yeah, yeah.
And to give her, like, in a weird way, this love that I think she's still missing. And I know that my battles are my battles, and my parents' battles are my parents, and my grandparents, and my friends' battles, and my society's battles. And, you know, sometimes we take on so many other people's battles because we feel like we can help. And a strong warrior of a man, a masculine energy is also doing that. I'm coming to protect you. I'm coming to save you. And I've definitely fallen into that trap, but I've also had now the wisdom of, like, I can't fix anything for them, but at least I can fix it for me. And I do feel like it's ever so slight, but there's a beautiful dynamic shift that has unfolded. And then doing the feminine embodiment course with Feel really blew my mind away. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Really helped me go one step deeper into just feeling with my body and feeling with my breath. I think I really enjoyed the anger one. I had a lot of rage. I'm just calming down from it now. I saw the last 8 months. Watch out. I've been doing fighting as well, and I've manifested very strong people around me who have, like, shown me, like, how to channel anger.
Yeah.
And I've really risen to accepting that and purging that. Yeah.
We live in a space where we really just need more harmony and balance. And the beauty about your journey so far has been that you've learned to be assertive and to reach your goals and have a plan and be on time. And, you know, all these things are really important. They aren't something to, you know, to now be naming, like a lot of people do these days. Oh, that's so masculine, that's so toxic. First of all, masculine isn't toxic. Masculine is a powerful, very important energy. And when it is in its divine alignment, it is actually extremely helpful for the world. We cannot live without protective energy. We cannot live without energy that creates structure and forwardness. There wouldn't be any progress, and nothing would be able to create container for the feminine flow to be in. So that's something really important to honor. As these days, with the rise of Instagram and feminine embodiment influencers, this message can get lost in translation. So if you already developed these qualities, which is extremely important for any human to thrive, that's amazing. And from here, you're saying you've started to reconnecting with your feminine, especially feminine line. Family is foundational. Like, I think I've had some of the most, like, revealing and healing, but also powerful progresses in my life only after I would have healed certain parts of my relationships with my family, with my father, with my mother, with the ancestors, as that kind of creates freedom and liberation from the negativity and the hardship. So that's, again, another foundation you've created for yourself for a better life. And with the feminine side, as you say, it's the beginning of your journey. And I love that you started it through embodiment, because in reality, we feel and we know what's within us. Feminine energy is about the flow and creativity and sensuality. You know, sensuality can only really be felt and developed when we know our bodies and feel our bodies. And also, I love that you say about anger module, because that's something I really am passionate about and introducing into this work. But and also, feminine embodiment course cannot be all light and softness. And, yeah, it's calm. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's kind of fake even. And also, feminine isn't all light. Feminine is darkness, right? And it's exploration of the dark feminine can be some of the most powerful experiences for women. Learning how you express your anger, your fear, sadness, how you can actually really cry. Like, yeah, allowing your emotions to flow and express themselves. Something that can be super transformative. And I would love to know from you, like, looking back at these practices you've had, what was it like for you, like, different aspects of it, right? Some of them are, like, so simple and just, like, connect to your breath, and some of them are, like, sexual, connect to your womb, yoni, and some of them are, like, just shout and cry
and shake.
Yeah, and shake. So what was it like for you?
Yeah, I enjoyed the different, every day was different.
Yeah.
Like you said, some were short, some were long. I had no idea what to expect. My instinct was just like, this looks and feels like
real. Yeah.
really aligned.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just challenge myself. And I had a good girlfriend in Australia who I kind of grew up with. She's also had like some tough things she's been through. But she said to me recently, like, she's been doing embodiment courses of in her world, but she was like encouraging me to just do some main courses, do some things.
Yeah.
Because I don't do that. You know, I'd be focused so hard on my career and sharpening my skills. And I want to tell this to people as well who maybe, you know, stumbled upon this podcast or, you know, or having blocks in their life in any way. You got to fill up the other compartments in your life. You have to remember to... I was just feeling career and skills and this for so long. And I've just forgot about family. I forgot about my sexuality. I forgot about points that are major pillars that I didn't fill them up as well. And since I filled them up, the career is like,
yeah,
actually going very well. So each day that I did these modules, it kind of shaped my day for that day. But it also was strange. The day that I would do those certain modules would actually really align with the energy of that moment.
Yeah.
There were some days where I would actually like see the blur, like about what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And I would actually wait like 1 or 2 days and I was going through some stuff and then I would do it.
Yeah.
And those are some days that I just pushed through and was like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And it really shifted my energy.
Yeah.
I really couldn't express enough gratitude for how you thought of what you channeled in order to make this 28 days course. But one other thing that was super profound that really changed a lot for me was actually sitting with my menstrual cycle.
Yeah so strong. Oh my god,
I swear to god, now I don't schedule my life and my period happens and I schedule.
Yeah, well done. I'm sorry, but there are like things that are just natural. There is no way to go against your own nature. When you do that, just you go against the flow of life. And of course, things don't happen easy.
Yeah. And I was not thinking, I have the worst pain in my womb. And I think it's all from my feminine line.
Yeah.
So there's something going on, because I've been to the doctors. I mean, who knows, I couldn't undo my endometriosis, but I just, you know, it debilitates me. And then when I'm in a pit, like if I'm like a man cold kind of person, if I have a little sickness or my period, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me. I don't take medicine for sure, but only I can have to take medicine for my period, because I get sick 3 days after because my kidneys like, what? Was out, and you just take eight like
Well,
they
super,
like it's terrible. Like, and I feel like I resented my period for so long because it's like I would have a show and it would come and I'd be like,
oh, that's so hard. To have a show on your period, I can't even imagine.
Yeah, no, I knew that. Yeah. The photo shoots, the video shoots. At one point, I had a big music video shooting for a song I did called Fashion Blogger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was with a big drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. It was like figure skating thing and trained for the. And I was thinking, just in case my period happens, I'm going to go on the pill just to make sure I can skip it. So, like, a month before, I went on it. Such a stupid move. And I was bleeding for a month straight because my body was like, what?
Oh, fuck.
So I was wearing like white big tutu costumes during the shoot and like still bleeding for a month.
Mm-hmm.
I started having bald patches in my head. I was like so disconnected with my femininity. My anxiety was like out of this world. I had to stop in the middle of the video shoot and just like sit in the bathroom and cry. Like, it was terrible. And I tried so hard to just make it permanent and it just didn't work. Like, for me, after that experience and also my own things and the medicine and the whole like corruptness of all, you know, especially the last few years, I'm sorry, but I can't stand behind the pill.
No.
Birth control.
No way. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
me neither.
No. And I really encourage, because I was on the pill from 14 to 18.
Yeah. And I was from 17 to 21 as well. So it's like we all had that moment of everyone said to be on the pill.
Yeah.
So we are.
Yeah. It's cool, you know. And actually, I'm much more empowered. I don't use protection.
Yeah.
I'm happy to like say that.
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping around like, you know, like, whatever too that I would need it, but it's more like I don't, because I know when I'm ovulating.
Yeah.
And I know that there's a 5-day window and that there's techniques.
Yeah.
There's only 48 hours of the cycle. So I did my research. Of course, there's other things that could happen. But if you know your body and you just trust and if your partner is, you know, also making techniques, you can find a way where it's just healthy and natural and you don't have to be in that zone of like worry and the morning after pill and all this kind of stuff. It knocks your system.
Mm.
And then you wonder why you have like emotional turmoil and you don't know how to disconnect. One, because you're taking medicine that's in the unnatural. And two, because you're not just letting emotions flow back by you. You're attaching to them. And attachment is like a really big problem of where I think a lot of people are having problems today.
Yeah.
They think that they are their thoughts and emotions.
Mm.
They don't have the wisdom to go, what thoughts and emotions can I take and use for this moment to use, but not to actually attach to it and be. So, yeah, my period is really, I've been reshaping it.
Mm.
And I've been, I really like the module.
Mm.
You have a beautiful module during the course where it's on the first day of the cycle and you can sit with your womb space and kind of breathe into that and like allow the period coming down. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was something that was most powerful to me. And you recommended me a very good book to read, which was Period by Maisie Hill.
Yeah.
Whole month.
Yeah, so amazing, isn't it? Like the basics of life, changing your life for the better.
That book should be like every man.
Yeah.
It's like that applies to men too.
Yeah. If they know these things about women, they can actually know how to work with them, how to love them, how to have them in the room. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to talk about periods. That's not my vibe. But now I'm like that person.
Yeah.
Because there was what I wouldn't be. Like, I'm always kind of like keep it in the closet. And, just. But for me, I'm like, yo, are you kidding me? Why in stage? Period.
Yeah.
There's time off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy, right? It is like, because this really changes your life for the better. It seems like a nuisance when people just learn about it. Oh, I need to now plan everything about my period, around my period. But yeah, because like if men were bleeding, right, and they're way more assertive and like clear and logical and by nature, they would have done that long time ago. Our whole system would have been working around periods. But since it's more our thing, we've been hiding it, pretending we don't have it, hiding tampons in our hands like it's something nobody should see while you go in the bathroom. It's like,
yeah,
it's such a secret.
And it's like, for me as well, like, menstruating and that time of it. And I can't get behind. I mean, I've done it. We've all done it, like sex during menstruation. For me, I'm reshaping that as well. And that's such a sacred space where you can really tap into letting things go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put anything up in my body that's getting in the way of that letting go process. Mm-hmm. And I think men, if they were more like, hey, no, oh, you're menstruating, let's not do anything, just like focus on your letting go time. Because it really is, it's a lot more sacred than we give it.
Yeah.
And I want to be a voice for women. I'm doing it in my close circles now. And obviously this podcast is the first time I've been able to open up, because I do like to keep, someone private or my personal life. But I think for men and women listening, friends, family, fans of my music, strangers I don't know yet, it's very important to honor this process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very Japanese thing I've learned too, honoring the process and not trying to pick it at all. Just let the fruit grow. And then when the Japanese master says, it is time to pick the line, then pick.
Then
you can't interfere in the middle. The fruit gets like a little weird looking.
On this part, I'll just comment for the audience as well. I prefer not to have sex on my period for sure, and a lot of women don't. So, of course, ask your woman. But one thing, some women might actually really want it. For some women, that orgasm can release like pain. So if a woman asks you and shows you that she wants it, then you can do it.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
it depends. But it all depends.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. Maybe sometimes it will be, sometimes.
Yeah.
But
but it's important to honor this process 100% and also honoring it in so many ways of like, yes, before that you're gonna feel not on top of yourself. And this doesn't actually mean not on top of yourself. It just means this is your time to reflect, digest, chill out. And what I love about female cycle is actually that's a nature cycle. And we have in Europe, in many parts of the world, the winter, spring, summer, autumn, and also cycle of life. We get born, we're babies, teenagers, adults, and elders. Mm-hmm. We go through those cycles, and at each stage, we're different. And what we're trying to do in a modern society now is to live an eternal summer. And that what causes environmental issues, political issues, societal issues, because we're constantly trying to work so hard to have everything perfect and working every single day and have that constant resource abuse. While nature isn't designed that way, same as women aren't designed that way. And same as any human, men also, like, they have daily cycle, right? You wake up and you do things and you get tired and you sleep. Well, what we are trying to do is, like, we need to have everything working 24/7. And that's why we are going against nature and so many bad things happen. While women have this, like, compass inside their own bodies that clearly shows to them, like, there is time for everything. There is time to perform, go work hard. And there is time to have rest and reflection. Like, what happened this month? What can I do better? How can I rest? How can I give my body a little bit of a break? What can I learn from this process? So this happens to us regularly, and that's kind of what should be happening in the outside world too. But we as humanity aren't there yet. Maybe when we embody as a humanity a little bit more of that feminine and connection to cyclical nature, also things that are in the world would get better. Because really just this chasing of everything has to be same, perfect, all the time. That's what causes issues.
Yeah. In laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
And something definitely that's very Japanese ideal as well, is it's really instilled in me the sense of routine.
Mm-hmm.
And routine is great, but what I'm learning and what I'm focused on right now and what I'm so grateful for to be here today, and Paris in a way is really shaping my next, like, 10, my 30s, which I've been entering, is like the sense of this womanhood and coming into that cycle and that flow and honoring that process. And to anyone else that's listening as well who is having blocks in their life, look at where you're not putting your time and energy into as well, whether that be family, finance, career, even, you know, if you've been focused too much on pleasure, maybe it's time to focus on physical things.
Yeah, harmony.
Yeah, so like you said, the collective conscious right now is needs presence, balance, and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both masculine and feminine. That's both you and me.
Mm-hmm.
That's both day and night.
Yeah.
So it's a really beautiful process to be a part of and to share this space with you and just acknowledge those things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, very beautiful.
And you know, with your period thing, something to mention. I've personally, like, I've been on a whole journey of the last 5 months of, like, healing my pains because I have also terrible pains. I have very special, not going to name them, painkillers. It's not that it's really good that I do that, but if I need to function on the day of my period, it's terrific. But generally, it's been terrific for many, many years. And now as I'm in this work and I started having access to incredible teachers, like, a lot in my life. And I decided to make it my goal. Okay, I'm going to start having soothing, beautiful, psychedelic periods. I could now these days, if I'm on the first day, I can make myself enjoy the pain through breath work. Because that's what something you can do even when you, like, give birth or whatever. You by borrowing that knowledge from that space. But of course, it's not something I can do all the time. Because I can only do that if I can have a whole day completely off with zero interaction with the outside world. Then sure, that's great. But I do run a business, so unfortunately, I can't do it all the time. The reality of life still steps in. It's a luxury. It's actually one thing I also want to point out. I hope I achieve such a space in my life where I can allow myself to have full 2 days off each time without any interaction. And that's the real luxury you achieve, right? When you're on top of your career, you can dictate completely. That means, like, now you're successful. I've tried a few things that really worked for me. And it's not something that, of course, I encourage people to go and do without any knowledge or research or proper people around you who can guide you through the process. But things that really worked for me were yoni steams, something that shout out to Simone Farshi, who showed and taught them to me. She's an incredible sex and love and relationship coach and also doula and steam therapist and all of that. So yoni steam is this ritual and really pleasant, deeply relaxing practice where you steam your yoni with different herbs. And I was grateful. I was lucky enough to live a bit in the countryside, so I would collect my own herbs from the local forest and do the steams. And I went hard on it. I was like 8 days before my period every day because I'm like, whatever happens, I just want to make them stop being so painful. Mm-hmm. And I understand why that works, because sitting on that steam and getting the steam go to your vagina, to your womb, one, so relaxing. So I'm like, okay, probably now all of my tissues, my organs are feeling that, like, relaxation and love that I'm giving it. So of course it's going to feel a little less painful because now they're going to feel generally better. And two, it's also, it feels like intentional ritual. You're like really dedicating your time and space to heal the pains. And other things that really helped was cervical de-armoring. Mm-hmm.
It's, again, a ritualistic and quite deep and meditative thing that you can do for yourself by first getting to know your cervix, because that's the part that would open up a little bit for your menstruation to come through. And my cervix was really, really tough and painful, like super painful. When I first touched it at 28 years old, never touched a space in my life, and I guess a lot of women haven't. I touched it. It was so tough, so painful, and so scary. Like, so much fear went through my body, and I understood, okay, if that space is so painful at any time of my cycle, probably it makes sense that my period is so painful.
Yeah,
so I went through, like, many months of massaging it myself with, like, a beautiful glass dildo that was, like, handmade for me. We'll sell it at some point, pre-advertising.
But but that massage is like, exactly. That massage is such a deep practice, and there is information around it on the internet if anyone wants to read, but that's called cervical de-armoring. And if you can do that with a loving partner, and that's what any tantra teacher would say, like, there is nothing more powerful than a penis of a loving partner who can then massage your cervix. That's even more powerful. But that also helped for sure, because now my cervix is softer. So of course, if it's softer, it opens up in a way that it doesn't cause so much friction. And yeah, I think these two things, except there was one more thing that is difficult to find for people, but they'll still mention here if they can find it, was craniosacral therapy. And that's energetic therapy that professionals and like high masters can give to people. And my teacher, Lina, hi, Lina. Lina, yes, she lives in London. And if anyone wants her services, guys, reach out to me. I'm very happy to share a contact. She doesn't have a website or anything. She's a proper, beautiful tantrika and a witch. And she gave me this therapy first in a normal way, which is usually through the head. But then we focused on the womb and my tongue. This tongue is connected to pelvic floor and the jaw. And I had lots of tension in my jaw. And my tongue was always a bit pointy and tough. I swear, after that session, my tongue, for the first time ever, fully relaxed, became floppy and fat. Like, I spent the whole day just getting to know my new tongue after, and then weeks ahead, I was like, wow, my tongue is so weird, so different. I can't recognize it in my mouth. It's like so floppy, so soft. That was crazy. And day after she did the therapy to me, I had my first cervical orgasm. Because I'm like, I think that space really dropped and softened. I was like, what did you do to me? I mean, so that was incredible. And all these things I've done over 5 months, like at the same time. And now, yes, my period is less painful. I can spend a day without drugs.
Wow.
Yeah, I will only take a pill if I need to go to a meeting. If I need to do something, okay. But I can survive without... Okay, I'm still high and not clear in my head. That's not going to go because it's normal. You're bleeding. You're not supposed to be like full on in your brain. So I'll be very relaxed and high and I'm going to spend a day at home. But I'm not going to like be dying in bed from my pain. So, yeah. And I will give you Yoni's team. I'll show you how to do that. So that's a very simple thing. Honestly, everybody can do it at home, but they need to learn it first. And then you can just do it for yourself all the time. And it's amazing to do. Some information on the internet might speak against it. Again, do your own research. Understand what you need. Connect to your intuition. If you want to speak to a doctor, do. But for me, it was enough to receive this knowledge from Simone and just feel what it feels like. And I felt that was really good for me, so I go ahead with it. There is unfortunately not much medical research generally around like natural practices like that. So much taboo around it as well. So there is no way I can like go and find the research on 10,000 women who did that. But for me, it worked. So that's enough.
There was a challenge. As a storyteller on stage and in through poetry, I still believe one mouse and telling stories to one another and educating by this kind of platform of voice to voice is still the strongest of parts of shit. They're calling for us, they know.
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah, we're talking about this feminine wisdom. Police is coming.
Yeah, this is such an important point, is like keep sharing. Keep the dialogue or name the dialogue open. Ikeda-san is Daisuke. Ikeda-san is one of my Buddhism heroes in Japanese, like modern Buddhism. He just passed away this year, actually. And he always said how important it is to keep the dialogue open. And even if it's uncomfortable, if it's not the usual conversation, but, you know, going deep into these themes of our bodies, of our lineage, of ourself, of all things. So yeah, this podcast and this show has been incredible. And so thank you for teaching me so much. I'm looking forward to my steam.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to finalize it because you do need to go back to Paris. But lastly, I will tell you that, yeah, we're going to spend a few minutes now to talk to you about Yoni's team and a bit about sex magic. And that's on the next podcast, on some future episodes, whenever. Yeah, if there's anything last thing that you want to share, please go ahead.
I just want to say thank you to everyone if they channeled themselves into this, and just keep exploring, keep opening doors. If you've never met your grandma, this might be a sign for you to do that. I don't know what your situation is like, but trust me, my situation was weird. I did it, and it was super profound, and just sending lots of purple love and red grounding to everyone today. So. Yeah.
This episode was recorded live in my living room in London as Ryan came from Paris to London to visit me and to participate and attend one of our events where she also got to perform. It was so great to spend some time with her and get to know her and share her story with you here on the Feminine Power Podcast. I will leave some links to her work in this episode description. Feel free to share this episode with anyone who would benefit from the story of reconnection with the family line, reconnection to the feminine. And if you are still here and listening to this audio already at the very end of this episode, I highly encourage you and I ask you to please leave a rating, as this really helps me to grow this podcast. I know we have a few thousand listeners, but very few ratings. It is important and it does help us reach more people out there with our message. So please spend a moment and leave a little rating to this podcast, whether you are listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Just go and leave a few words of feedback if you can as well. I am looking forward to sharing more with you in the next episode.